The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello, Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of the Valentine's News Podcast here on Big Blue View Radio, part of your SB Nation family of podcasts. I'm your host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View. This is my first show since returning from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. And, of course, with what we saw with workouts during the Combine and heard during the media sessions earlier in the week, there is plenty to talk about, and here to help me break that all down is Emery Hunt of Football Game Plan, who was also in Indianapolis for a few days last week. Em, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Ed, as always. I appreciate you having me on.
Hey, no, thank you for spending the time, and I know we were talking off air, I know you've jumped right back into the grind of grading prospects.
Yeah, I've done every position except corners and safety, so I should be done with those two positions by Friday, which would mean I would be at probably close to 750 prospects, which will be amazing. And then that way I can produce the draft guide, which will come out on March 9th. So that way guys could have my scouting reports for every player, not just numbers and rankings, but my strengths, areas of improvements, player comparisons, games that I watch, attributes that I assign to them for all 750 plus players that I've graded.
Em, you're crazy. That's going to be valuable work to get your hands on. So we'll be looking forward to that, folks. And Em, I give you all the credit in the world for digging in and grading that many players all on your own.
Well, it's always beneficial, man, because like we see every time at training camp and during the preseason, folks are saying, well, who's this guy that's making these plays that's going to make this team? And I always have a scouting report on that guy. You know, I either have seen that guy play live or broadcasted a game of his or watched him and graded him and wrote him up in my scouting notes. So it's always I thought this year would be the perfect year to pull back the curtain a little bit and give this information to the fans so that way they can have a better, more informed preseason training camp and just help them out throughout the rest of the year. And they can pre-order that draft guide at footballgameplan.com/2020draft guide.
All right. Well, we'll be looking forward to that. And we'll be looking forward to getting a copy of that for Big Blue View. And, I'm sure that it'll be as good or better than just about anything you can get a hold of out there. I mean, the great thing about your work is that, for me anyway, is that it's always your work. You always manage to come up with your own opinions. It's not groupthink. It's what you think. It's not, what anybody else thinks. And that's what I always like and appreciate about your work.
Appreciate you, Ed, man, always.
So let's talk a little bit about the New York Giants and about the Combine, just some general impressions. I know you were there a lot of the mornings that I was there talking to players and listening to guys. And I know you spent a lot of time over the weekend, you know, watching workouts, paying attention to numbers. When you think about the New York Giants at 7, and you think about the various needs, and everybody says, you know, offensive line, do you think at all that anything that happened this weekend, and maybe it's a generic question, did anything that happened with guys this weekend change the perspective maybe of the players the Giants could be choosing from?
You know, not really. I just think that it puts them in a unique situation where they can, that free agency is going to have a significant impact on where they go with that pick. Because you look at where they're picking right now, they're picking 4th, I believe, correct? So
right. Yes.
You look at how they're picking. It's funny because me, you, and Patty had this discussion. Patricia Traina had this discussion the last home game. And I was like, at that time, I was like, you know, I at the time the talk was about Giants taking O lineman. I was like, you know, I can't take a lineman that high. I would take Isaiah Simmons at 4. And after now grading these offensive linemen, I got 3 tackles that have 90 grades. So that's, in my grading scale, that's guys that I think that are Pro Bowl level right now that have all pro potential. But when you look at Isaiah Simmons, it's like, man, he's a legit game breaker. Outside of Chase Young, he's probably one of the only 2 legit front 7 game breakers in this draft. And because of the depth of class that we see right now at the offensive line, and as well as the offensive tackles more in particular, I still would be hard pressed to pass on Simmons because, you know, defensive game breakers are rare in this draft. Jeffrey Okuda is another one that, even though I haven't graded corners and safeties yet, I still think he's going to be an elite talent when it's all said and done. But you talk about point of attack, Chase Young, Isaiah Simmons, Giants, if they can come away with either one of those guys, depending on what goes on ahead of them, that's a win for them.
You know, it's funny that you went right to Simmons. I know he absolutely lit the combine up on Saturday during his workout. He was incredibly impressive when he spoke to the media earlier in the week. I love the fact that when Tom Rock of Newsday said, the question that Tom posed to Isaiah was, you know, Isaiah, you're wearing a sweatshirt that has LB on it, which was the players were all identified by the positions that they were working out with. So he worked out with the linebackers. And he said, do you consider yourself a linebacker? What, you know, do you consider yourself a safety? What do you consider yourself? And he said, I play defense. Said, I'm a positionless player. I play defense.
Period.
Yeah, and that was, I thought that was an awesome answer. And the thing about Simmons, the workout, everybody has kind of assumed to this point, I think, that if the Detroit Lions stay at 3, there's been this assumption that they would take Jeffrey Okuda. And now all of a sudden I'm starting to see talk that Simmons won't get past the Lions at 3. Can you see Detroit actually taking Simmons at 3?
Absolutely. I could see that being a possibility because Detroit also needs defense tackle. So you can see Derrick Brown being a possibility to go there. Or, you know, maybe they surprised some people like they did last year and took a tight end in the top 10 and take Javon Kinlaw out of South Carolina. Although that would be a little bit too rich for me. But I could see them pulling the trigger if they like the athletic traits and the versatility that he provides. So I think they would probably address maybe, either one of these offensive linemen or, you know, a defensive tackle and then a corner and then Isaiah Simmons. So it's definitely in the discussion because he's such an elite talent. And right now, I know they drafted Jelani Tavai last year in the second round out of Hawaii, who's a really good player, can play all 3 spots. Gerard Davis is a solid linebacker. Kennard is probably their best linebacker pound for pound. And adding Simmons would add a versatile move piece. It would actually give Matt Patricia his version of Kyle Van Noy, you know, a guy that can play multiple spots, play all 3 linebacker spots, can't put his hand in the dirt and rush and be a good pass rusher as well. and dropping coverage. So you don't really have to take him off the field. So definitely in play, but it just makes that fourth pick for the Giants so valuable because of all the options that are at their disposal.
Well, here's the other thing about that fourth pick. You know, I guess I'm kind of a glutton for punishment because every Sunday I do these multiple round mock drafts using, I use that the FanSpeak mock draft simulator. Sometimes I'll run a free agency scenario first. And of course, every week Twitter tells me how wrong I am. but you know, that's beside the point because my thing that I'm trying to accomplish is leading up to the draft just to bring some scenarios into play. And what I keep coming back to is, especially with the quarterbacks that are going to come off the board here, two of them, maybe three of them in the top 10, I keep coming back to this idea that it's with so many players. I mean, I can see 10, maybe 12 guys that you'd be happy with, you know, that you can really be happy with and really feel like you got a good player in the top of this first round. So, you know, Dave Gettleman says the Giants are open for business and he's never traded down. But I keep coming back to this idea that he could trade down four spots, five spots, maybe even all the way down to 12 if he can get the Raiders to give up their second first round pick and still come up with a really good player.
Absolutely. And for full disclosure, just to echo how good of a, let's say the Giants looking at offensive linemen, even though I wouldn't oppose them taking a lineman at four, but if you can trade down and still get a starting lineman, in my opinion. But you look at the grades, like how I grade, you know, is on a 10-point scale. So anything that's 80 or above, I see as first round talent, right? So this year at the offensive tackle position, I got 10 players with 80 grades or higher, three with 90. I have five or six guards with 80 grades, and above, and three centers with 80 grades. So yeah, if you're planning to move down to try to take a lineman, you're going to be in good shape. But if you're trying to play the board and try to move down to take Isaiah Simmons, I don't think he leaves the top five. So it all depends on which direction they want to go to take. You know, if they want the versatile defensive player in Simmons, they have to stay put. If they want a lineman, then yeah, they have a bevy of options of players that they can choose. And also a bevy of options as far as draft capital that they can accumulate by moving down.
Sure. And the other one I wanted to ask you about, and you might have mentioned him a little bit, but I've seen some speculation that the target for the Giants might actually be Derrick Brown, the defensive tackle out of Auburn. And I know that most of the analysts that I've seen say that he's worthy of that pick at number four. I'm not sure how you have him graded, but considering that the Giants drafted, you know, Dexter Lawrence a year ago, they're in that situation where they're probably, I think, going to have to keep Leonard Williams. Does it make any sense for the Giants to draft Derrick Brown?
It doesn't. It doesn't, you know, and I understand why some people would say take Derrick Brown because, yeah, he is my number one defensive tackle. He has an 82 grade. But you look at, you know, where are you going to play him? Are you going to play him over Leonard Williams, who you traded draft capital for and looking to hope to resign? You're going to move him to nose? Are you going to move Dalvin Tomlinson and stick Brown there and have him play kind of like a quick nose tackle, which is fine. Some teams do it, or what does that say for BJ Hill, who plays well when he's out there on the field? So it's different. And it was good because Brown talked about this at the combine that he played all across the board at Auburn. And so he sees himself as a defensive lineman, not just a defensive tackle. And yeah, so I can understand that, but then that would be like, man, then why would you have traded for Leonard Williams? So I think that right there is probably more smokescreen than anything.
Could well be. I think, you know, what happens with Leonard Williams and for me, what happens with free agency in terms of the offensive line. I mean, I've been a big proponent of the Giants going after Jack Conklin in free agency, even with all of the offensive tackles who are available, simply because it sets them up where they could go after, you know, an Isaiah Simmons or whatever else they wanted to do, even taking that another offensive tackle if they wanted to go in that direction. But the one that does, I'm with you a little bit, the one that doesn't seem to make sense to me the way they're set up is Brown, simply because it feels redundant to what they have.
Yeah, it feels redundant, and again, he's a really good player, and he could help out, but then it's just adding. That's like if the Giants drafted Jonathan Taylor at 4. Like, yeah, he's a great player. It could help out. But you got Saquon Barkley, right? It doesn't make sense. So I think that one is probably trying to drum up interest in someone to get someone to reveal their hand to see, you know, who really wants Brown.
All right, Em, let's take a quick break here for a word from our sponsors. Then we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about guys deeper in the draft. We'll talk a little bit about, you know, some of the on-field performances maybe that surprised you a little bit. And, you know, a few of the other combine-related topics. And maybe we'll even get into a little bit of indie social life.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
All right, Giants fans, Ed Valentine back here on Big Blue View Radio talking with Emory Hunt of Football Game Plan. Em, wanted to get into, you know, some of the on-field combine performances. You know, Giants will be looking for help at a lot of positions. They'll be looking for help at wide receiver. They'll probably be looking for help at tight end. I mean, we heard the other day that Red Ellison might be retiring. The Giants, I think, would probably consider releasing him anyway, even if he doesn't retire. Heard that Evan Engram is still in a walking boot and may not practice at all with the team until training camp. They could be looking for help, as we've said, along the offensive line, at linebacker. They could be looking for help just about anywhere. So I guess what I want to ask you as you look back at the combine, give me some guys you think, you know, day two, day three guys who really helped themselves with their performances at the combine, you know, guys who might, you know, pique the Giants' interest a little bit.
Full disclosure, the combine doesn't mean a hill of beans to me. Because you don't want to focus solely on how guys do not playing football. But to answer your question, I think a lot of attention will be going toward guys who play well on tape. And should be around in day two. You're looking at Isaiah Simmons is a linebacker, but if you don't get him, man, I would be hard-pressed to not take a guy like Akeem Davis-Gaither out of Appalachian State. This dude just epitomizes the word dog. And as you know, I'm a raging Cajun, and watching that game against App State twice, the regular season matchup and the championship game, this dude is legit game plan wrecker. Like, there was nothing my Cajuns could do offensively that this dude didn't blow up. And I'm talking about from a run game perspective to a pass coverage perspective. He can blitz. He's aggressive, but he's controlled with that aggressiveness. So he's a tremendous player that's going to be in this. He's going to be a second round pick. He could flirt with a first round selection, but I think with the run on offensive lineman that we're going to see in the first round, he'll be more slated toward round two and would be a great pick. Jabari Zuniga out of Florida is another defensive lineman I thought acclimated himself well with the interviews and you know, talk ball really well. So he has a football IQ that you want. He's another one that probably could get pushed up in round one, but is more likely a second round pick. Joe Gaziano out of Northwestern, real good defensive lineman, depth guy. I graded him out as a 5 tech, but I think he can do really well. And going, you know, being a little bit biased here, but two raging Cajuns that'll be available in rounds three. You're talking about Robert Hunt, the right tackle who should be healthy by the time his pro day is later this month. And also Raymond Colley. The Giants need an RB2. They do need someone to upgrade that position. And Colley provides them with an explosive threat, also helps out in a return game, which is another area of need for the Giants. So he could be your 6th or 7th round pick, something like that. But he has blazing speed and has the ability to catch the football. He could also line up as a slot. So he gives you some flexibility. And he was a tremendous game breaker at Louisiana and also had a really strong week at the NFLPA game where he returned 2 punts for touchdowns.
If we're looking at the wide receiver class, and I know how deep this class is, if I said, okay, you look at the Giants and they've got Golden Tate, they've got Sterling Shepard, you still have Evan Engram, who is really he's a tight end, you know, but he's really probably a big slot receiver. So they've got a lot of those kinds of guys. You know, give me a couple of your favorite day two, you know, maybe even into the 4th or 5th round, maybe a couple of the bigger guys, a couple of the guys that could really play outside and be impact players that could help, the Giants offense.
Man, it's a great class. You're absolutely right, man. I'm looking at a couple of split ends that I have graded, and I grade these guys from flankers, slots, split ends, bigger inside receivers. And you're right, the Giants have a bevy of similar types of receivers, flankers and slot guys. But so let's look at split ends. And, you know, if they want to go round two or, you know, round four, I'm a big fan of Isaiah Coulter out of Rhode Island, who compares his game to A.J. Green. I could definitely see that comparison. He's explosive. He's athletic. He's aggressive in the right ways at that position. So is Denzel Mims out of Baylor, who tested well but plays just as aggressive as you want your receivers to play. I was at the Senior Bowl, and I tweeted out, like, man, Mims plays like, you know, he's not as explosive or fast, but obviously he tested well, but he just didn't play that way as Dez Bryant, but he plays the same game as a Dez Bryant. You know, he's like a bona fide ex receiver.
Well, you mentioned Mims, and the thing that what I've watched from Mims is this is a wide receiver who actually likes to hit people.
Oh, absolutely. He takes every part of the position personally. He blocks well in the run game. He doesn't mind going over the middle of the field. He plays the contested catch really well. So, yeah, he plays a big dog's game, and that's what you want to see. Colin Johnson out of Texas. For a guy that's 6'5", 221, I mean, he really gets in and out of his breaks really well for such a taller guy, and that's so hard for those guys to do. Antonio Gandy-Golden out of Liberty plays a lot like Cortland Sutton out there in Denver. Another big guy that can run good routes, sinks his hips real well. So there are some options for the Giants in rounds three or four, you know, if they want to take a big receiver there. Because, again, they got a bunch of guys that are very similar. If they want, you know, maybe a slot guy to go along with, you know, Sterling Shepard or Darius Slayton, who's more like a flanker. If they want a slot guy, there's those guys as well. KJ Hamler would be another speedster, a guy that tracks the ball really well. Justin Jefferson is a bigger slot guy. You know, he's 6'3", 190, and runs really good routes. So even if you want to take a flyer on the seventh round, Malcolm Perry out of Navy, not only can he's making a transition to slot receiver from option quarterback, but now you add that element of him handling the football, you know, and giving that element of, okay, is it going to be an option? Is it going to be a zone read? Is he going to run routes? Is he going to, you know, throw the football? So you get that player, you get your version of Taysom Hill on your roster that you can grab in round seven.
Yeah, I kind of love that idea, the Malcolm Perry idea, just to see what you could do with an athlete like that, and you know, and add that sort of element. So that's an intriguing one for me. But you know, so we'll see if that comes to pass. I think that would be fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a really good player, man, and you know, the day one at the Shrine game, he looked like he was playing slot receiver, you know, his entire life. And, you know, he went through his bumps and bruises throughout the week as far as, like, getting acclimated to the position. But in the game, they motioned him in the backfield and had him run the option. And naturally, everyone focused on the pitch. And he just outran everyone for, like, a 60-something yard touchdown. And so those type of things, you put yourself in play now because you have a guy that's so elusive and dangerous and explosive with the ball in his hands.
Interesting. Hey, you know, as I was talking a little bit earlier about how I run all these different scenarios, and one way the Giants could do this as they go through the offseason is they could look to upgrade, say, right tackle in free agency. And I've talked a little bit about Jack Conklin, and I'm really not sure that you know, beyond Conklin, there's much in terms of depth, at least, you know, guys that you'd want to give big money to. But if, you know, if they were to sign Jack Conklin and sort of push the idea of drafting a left tackle, you know, down into day two, they do have Nate Solder for another year. Maybe they can get Isaiah Simmons, you know, maybe they drop back a little bit and do something off the wall, like pick CeeDee Lamb or something late in the, you know, with the eighth or ninth pick, something like that, which I think would probably drive Giants fans insane, you know, to see them take a wide receiver. But my long-winded point is this. If they were to push the idea of drafting a prospective left tackle of the future into day two, I think it's something that they have to do at some point. Just give me a couple of the guys you think, you know, that are day two guys who can, you know, maybe 2-3 years down the road turn into really good NFL left tackles.
Well, and this was crazy is that you get guys that may be pushed up because of a run on tackle. So guys may take, you know, normally day two guys in round one. But one name to keep an eye on that I really like is Matt Peart out of UConn. I graded him. I have 10 offensive tackles that have 80 grades. So the top 10 is all 80s and 90s, right? And that number 11 is Matt Peart, you know, who has a 78.5. Really good, technically sound offensive tackle. He was the rose that grew from concrete when you're watching UConn, because UConn football is tough to watch. They are terrible. But Peart played extremely well. He was consistent. He manhandles guys at the point of attack. He's good on both ends of offense, run game and pass game. His feet are always square. His hands stay inside consistently. He's a good athlete. He runs well with guys. He's able to run your outside zones really well, reach blocking, all those things you want. And he has that upside, you know, that can play right tackle. Or if you want a left tackle with some upside, I'm a big fan of Terrence Steele out of Texas Tech, who you can get in rounds two or three. Another one when you watch on film, and I brought this up when I talked to him at the combine, I brought up the Baylor game, and he was like, yeah, that was my best game. I felt like that I played really well in that game because he was going to up against a very good defensive end on Baylor's side who's in this draft class as well. His name slips me. But he had a really good game that game. I think people don't give these old linemen from Texas Tech credit considering how often they pass the football. But he's another one that showed really good technique and the aggressiveness to be dominant on both ends. And he played he can play left or right tackle. So you get guys that are talented, athletic, that can also develop that you can get in rounds two or three.
You know, I don't know what you think of going about it that way if you were the Giants, but I kind of I wonder if that's what they might really do here is try to solidify right tackle this year with Solder, you know, still having another year on his contract, and look for someone, you know, as a day two guy, you know, who they could develop for a year behind Solder. I'm just kind of shooting in the dark on that one, but I think that might be, you know, the way that they go.
Yeah, I mean, and here's the thing. Don't forget about Nick Gates. Gates is a guy that played well for the Giants, and he could be their future inside, maybe as a guard or as a center. And don't rule out them drafting a center. Tyler Beatus out of Wisconsin is my top center. They get him in the second round, and now they have solidified their interior offensive line. Gates could continue to grow and develop as a right tackle. So there's options for the Giants. I think this is a year where they do have a lot of good options at their disposal, whether that's you're talking about, you know, on offense or on defense.
You know, you mentioned center, and I do have to ask you about one player in particular, and that's Matt Hennessy, the kid from Temple. Obviously, he's a Jersey kid. I think he played at Don Bosco. His brother, I think, is long snapper for the New York Jets. So it just seems like if you're looking for a mid-round center, he seems like a guy that would be sort of a nice story. I don't know if he's the right player, but he seems like an obvious guy to at least talk about. So tell me what you think of him.
I like his game. I think, you know, playing at Temple, he's predicated on the run game. He has those injury issues that you kind of worry about. You if you're the Giants, you're kind of dealing with that now with John Jalapio, and, you know, you're like, all right, well, do we want to have a younger version of that? Now, hopefully he's healthy and he won't have those same issues that, you know, that have plagued, you know, John this so far in his career. But yeah, he's a nice story. If you're looking for a center, I think Tristan Colon Castillo out of Missouri is another one to keep an eye on. Cesar Ruiz out of Michigan, maybe one that probably will go earlier than expected, but he's a very good center. He's what Dave Gettleman would love because he's a quote-unquote hog molly. He's built like one. There are some really good centers in this class too.
When you mention Ruiz, my guess is probably no way he lasts to 36.
Right, because you look at him, you look at Hansen out of Oregon, Beatus, we already talked about, Mioga out of Washington State, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly. Those are my top four, you know, with Caesar being four. So again, strong class of centers, man. This is an impressive class of offensive linemen, guards and centers, quite honestly.
Sounds like Dave Gettleman's cup of tea, yeah?
Oh, he's going to have a field day going through that. He's probably at the facility right now just pouring through all of this excellent offensive line film. Seven offensive linemen in this draft.
Excuse me. You know, it makes me think of something that Gettleman said a couple of years ago. He said he likes to watch film until it makes his eyes bleed. And you know, somehow that's just a picture that I didn't really want.
Sitting in the dark room with the white light blasting in his face with his eyes bleeding.
Yeah. Hey, Em, before I let you go, a couple of more sort of lighthearted questions. I did want to ask you, you know, they changed the combine this year. They changed it quite a bit. They changed a lot of the scheduling with the primetime workouts, with some different drills, you know, with the media access in the morning. Did you like the way they set it up this year? Did you like the changes?
Yeah, I actually liked it because I'm an early person by nature. So I didn't mind getting up early and getting to, you know, to the to the convention center and interviewing all these guys and being done by like 11:30. And that way you can, you know, recalibrate, figure out what you want to do as far as content producing. You can even go in and eat lunch leisurely. You can go take a nap, which I did a couple days, took a nice 3-hour nap and got ready for dinner in the nightlife of Indy. So I actually liked it. What I didn't like was I still wish we are able to go to watch the workouts live. I was able to go to the first throwing session. The media was able to go to the first throwing session. I was there for the first group with the Hurts and Herberts and those guys. But then they tell you when you get in there, it's like, hey, no pictures, no video, no live tweeting. You just sit and watch. I'm like, all right, well, I won't be doing this next year. Like, you're just sitting there, so I could watch this on TV. So that's the only thing I don't like, how you don't have media access to the actual workouts. But everything else I had no problems with.
Yeah, I don't understand the lockdown, you know, on watching the workouts and reacting to the workouts. But you know, I do have to ask you, you mentioned Indy nightlife and you mentioned, you know, taking that afternoon nap. And I'll be honest with folks, I took advantage of the Indy schedule to take a couple of those afternoon naps myself. But you and I and Teron Davenport of ESPN and one of your cohorts whose name escapes me, Chris, I can't remember, Chris James, right, a football game plan. We took advantage of the nightlife and went to the famous St. Elmo's Steakhouse, where, you know, I spent more money on dinner than I've ever spent in my entire life, to be honest with you. But you mentioned being a morning person, Em. And when I left, you guys were hopping into the bar next door. So I got to ask you, you know, how easy it was to get up the next morning.
You know what? It was easy to get up because pride gets you up. You're like, all right, I'm up. Let's go. And we didn't get back to the room until 3 a.m. And so I hopped up at like 6, showered, got dressed, got over to Indy. But I will tell you this. That was probably the best 3-hour nap I got once that day of interviews were done. I went right back to the hotel, knocked out. But it was fun though, man. I will tell you this: like St. Elmo's was, we went there for you, Ed, because you hadn't been, Chris hadn't been, and you know we wanted everybody to try the St. Elmo's. But I will say this: Prime 47. The steak we had on Thursday evening was the best steak. It's up there with Ruth Chris. That's how excellent Prime 47 is. So next year, we won't go. We won't even enter. We'll probably do appetizers at St. Elmo's, like the shrimp cocktail that everybody talks about. And then we'll go and do dinner, the actual steak, at Prime 47.
There you go. So, yeah, but you know what they're going to do next year, Em? They'll probably move the combine to Vegas or L.A. or something. You know, just when we're starting to figure this out, they'll probably move it on us.
Which would be so dumb because you, and listen, I'm a major city guy. So if it's a major city, I'm all for it. But I actually like Indianapolis. I felt as though when you go to Indy, you can walk everywhere. It's conveniently located. You're able to get in and out pretty easily as far as flights is concerned. Quick 2-hour flight. Actually an hour and 30-minute flight, both leaving and arriving. And it kind of gets you to take a chill pill a little bit. Like, you get to relax a little bit. Because as much as I love major cities, you kind of have to be on all day when you're in a major city. Like, but at Indy, you can really turn it off and just really focus on work. So I would hate if they move this thing to L.A. or Vegas.
I'm with you there. I love the fact that you, as you said, you're in Indy and you can walk everywhere. And as far as the players and the teams are concerned, you know, you've got the stadium, you've got the convention center. It's all connected, and it's just it works really well. It seems to flow really well. But you and I both know that money talks, and if they can monetize this somehow, the NFL will certainly figure out a way to do it.
Oh, absolutely. That's why they moved the workouts to the evening.
Of course, and it's why they moved the draft all around now. So it is what it is. It's the nature of the beast, and you know we'll take advantage of Indy as long as they'll leave it there. You know, I hate the fact that you know if they were to move it now, just when we're actually starting to figure it out.
Especially since we just figured out where the best steaks are at Indy. You know?
There you go. But you didn't take me to Prime, Em. Come on.
You had neck pain, so we wanted to leave you be. You know?
Well, that is true. Actually, that is true. So, you know, so I was playing hurt all week, but I managed. So I toughed it out. So I get points for that.
Absolutely, you did come out and tough it out the first night. And when you were hurting the worst, you came out that night and had a good meal. So, and we had phenomenal dessert. I wish we would have been able to finish the whole thing, but that was some great bread pudding that we had.
You learned one of my golden rules of going out to dinner, Em. You know, whether I'm still hungry or not, if somebody at my table orders dessert, they do not eat dessert alone.
That was good information because I'm the dessert king.
There you go.
Room in my stomach.
There you go. It's always a decision, and that's one I'm glad we made, even though neither one of us came anywhere close to finishing that thing. All right, Em. Why don't you before I let you go? Why don't you remind folks where they can find your work and where they'll be able to find the draft guide that you mentioned a little bit earlier.
Well, they can find my work online at youtube.com/footballgameplan. Follow me on Twitter at FBallGamePlan. If you're in the tri-state area, every Thursday and Friday, head over to the Game Plus Network. Thursday evening at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time, we have our Scout Team TV show, which is us breaking down draft prospects and going through different player interviews and things of that nature. It's a really fun show. It's our version of Path to the Draft. It's on Game Plus Network, and Friday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time is XFL game day, our XFL show where we preview this upcoming week's action in the XFL, have cool features and things of that nature also, and both are on the Game Plus Network. Again, check with your cable provider for channel listings, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time, and you can order the draft guide or pre-order the draft guide, which should drop March 9th, which is a Monday, I believe, at footballgameplan.com/2020draft guide. Again, we put a lot of work into it. It's all of my scouting notes, areas of improvements, strengths, player comparisons, games that I watch, attributes assigned to the players for 700. So it's not like some draft guys where you see them give a profile on maybe the top 10 and then the rest just be listed 11 through 50 and just names. No, we have, if you made our guide, you have a scouting report. So this is going to be essentially handy for you guys to follow throughout the season to see if I'm right or if I'm wrong or if you agree or disagree or where guys' strengths and weaknesses lie. As you know, the NFL is constantly a transient business to where guys come and go from the roster. And so having this many players graded and scouted and evaluated at your fingertips, it helps keep you informed on who's going in, who's coming into your team and who's leaving.
You know, Em, it's really too bad that you just don't have anything going on.
Yeah, right. I need to find something to get busy.
Need to find something to do. My God. All right. Em, thank you very much for taking the time to spend with me and let us know a little bit more about the draft and how you felt about the combine. Giants fans, thank you very much for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.